why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. Now, guys, we are about to exit the month of January. Today is literally the last day of January, and we will be ushering into a new month of February. Now, for those of you who don't know, on Saturday, February 2nd, it's Groundhog's Day. And the story goes, this little groundhog by the name of Punxsutawney Phil, each year, if he sees its shadow, that means we're going to have a prolonged winter. And if he doesn't see his shadow, we will be seeing an early spring. Now, over the last few years, this whole groundhogs business has meant nothing to me. Why? Because Mother Nature is greater. And as many of you guys have experienced, especially up here in the Northeast, winter, spring, summer, they do whatever they want. One week, it's winter. The next week, it's spring. The next week, it's summer. So at this point, the only advice I can tell all of you is to forget about the groundhog and just make sure that you have a jacket for every season in the next coming weeks, literally. So today's show, guys, is going to be very, 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 very cool because I have a very cool guest coming on by the name of Winnie L'Amour. She is the founder of the Haitian Creole Language Institute, and I'm so excited to be speaking to her today and to have her share her knowledge and to talk about who she is, what she's done in our community. So definitely keep it locked and stay tuned for that portion of the show. But you know, before we get into the meat of the show, we have our preliminaries. So moving along to our Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I've been on fleek, Gillette.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So our Urban Dictionary word of the week is jack of all traits, not to be confused with jack of all trades. So jack of all traits is a politically correct way of describing someone with multiple personality disorder. Example, him. What the fuck is up with Jill? One minute she's Marsha Brady, the next she's Britney Spears. Her. She is a jack of all traits. Now, I like this definition because it's a way to low-key shade people, i.e. your friends, right under their noses. Because when you say jack of all traits, they're automatically going to think jack of all trades. And they're going to think that you're talking about something else. But they're not going to know that you're really saying that they're psycho on the low. You're welcome. So now it's time for my most favorite part of this show. You guys know it is time for our big up of the week.
Watch it. When you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up.
So this week's big up of the week goes to a gentleman by the name of Darren Hall, who is a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. The reason I entered that into the mix is because that's how they're talking about him on the internet, and so therefore I like to keep things consistent. But either way, it was recently announced that this young black brother opened a wellness studio right here in Brooklyn, New York, with the focus of helping black men deal with anxiety and depression. Now, for me, if I had one of those round of applause machines, I would play it right here because this definitely deserves big ups. It deserves kudos. It deserves hand claps. For all of you who know, depression is real. Depression in the black community is real. But the depression in black men, depression and anxiety in black men is even realer because we all know our black men have been raised to suck it up, don't show emotion, don't show vulnerabilities. And a lot that can be very weighing and taxing on an individual. So it is amazing that this individual by the name of Darren Hall was able to create this space to focus on men and their depression and give them a place to really be comfortable and show their vulnerabilities. So I look forward to seeing what, you know, Darren has in store for, you know, the community. I'm sure this is not going to be just it. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more in store with this location. And I believe the name is Heal House. There we go. Heal House, spelled H-E-A-L-H-A-U-S. So Heal House right here in Brooklyn. It's on Fulton. Definitely check it out. I mean, I know it says that they've created a space for Black men. I'm hoping, I have to do a little more research, but hopefully us Black women will be able to show up and get some healing as well too. So definitely big up to you, Darren Hall. Now, you guys know that with every high, there is a low. And this week's low is the grand dam, Hillary hot sauce in her purse, Rodham Clinton. Now, we all know that the 2020 elections is around the corner and people from all over are throwing their hats in the ring. And it has been reported by CNN and various other news outlets that Hillary may be considering running yet again. Now, the first time I heard this ratchetness, I thought that she has to be kidding, right? Because it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you know, we know the song, we fall down and we get up. But this does not apply to you, Hillary, hot sauce in her purse, Clinton. It doesn't. Because the American people are tired. We're tired of you. We're tired of your lies. We're just tired of your whole entire platform altogether. And we cannot go through another Hillary, you know, election again. We just can't. We just can't. So, you know, CNN also reported that some of her closest friends reported that Hillary stated to them that she is not closing this door in light of all of these things that are going on. So pretty much Trump is giving her some sort of hope, right? With all these indictments going on and all this extra stuff, she feels like she has some hope. And so she's saying that she is not closing the door. But I am here to tell you, Hillary, please do the American people a favor and shut the door. Take the key and lock it up. We don't need any confusion for the masses. We have our girl Kamala Harris who is running, and I am so excited to see a Black woman running for the presidency in my time. And we need to focus on this Black girl magic without any distractions, please. So do us a favor. That door that you said is slightly ajar, that's open, shut it up, lock it up, tape it up, and keep your ass inside, please. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, the founder of the Haitian Creole Language Institute, Winnie L'Amour. Winnie, say hello.
Pew, 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 pew.
I need to get those sound effects.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Thank you for having me, Rita.
Oh, definitely. You know, it was funny when I was thinking about today's show and how I'm going to start all of this. I remember the first time I met you. I think it was at Katra.
Was it at Katra?
It might have been at, no, it's either Katra or a Halani event.
Oh, it
because
might have
it was
been
Rafaela
yes.
who introduced me to
yes,
you. But for some reason, it was a, I feel like Compa Tuesday.
It might have been Compa Tuesday.
I believe, actually, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I am 99.99% sure.
Yes.
It was Compa Tuesday. And Rafaela, I would not give her last name, you know, yes. for government's sake.
Yes.
She was like, here, meet my my Haitian Creole teacher. And she kept telling me about this Haitian Creole teacher. But I was just like, you have a Haitian Creole? Like, where did you get a tutor?
On the Googles.
I was like, where did you get a tutor? Because for the longest time, she would say, Rita, you have to teach me Creole.
Yeah.
I want to learn Creole. And then I found this app, but then her phone didn't have enough
memory.
Space.
Oh, no.
But then she actually went out and got a tutor. And I was like, interesting.
Yes, Rafael was one of my first students.
Yeah, because it was very crazy when she told me about that, because I know people always talk about they want to learn Creole, but for her to go out and find a tutor that was actually teaching Creole, it wasn't some friend.
It's a thing.
People are interested.
It's a thing. People are interested. I thought you were talking about the second time we met at the town hall.
Oh, yes,
where
yes,
I was
yes.
admiring your beauty.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for noticing.
You hear that, everybody? No.
I love it. But you're right, there is a need. There's a need. And a lot of people have friends like you, Haitian friends, who are like, oh, teach me Creole, teach me Creole. If you probably have a new Creole.
Yeah, so, it's and you know what, the thing is, it's like, it's not that you don't want to teach them, but I'm not a teacher. I didn't go into the business of teaching. It's so thing. It's like, you know, and then everybody has their Creole.
Yeah.
Mon nom, mon sud.
Of course.
This sounds more French.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, but now that I know that like it's a professional,
professional.
And for those of you who don't understand some of these, you know, I'm here with my Haitian sister, so this is going to be a little Creole. We're going to talk about the Haitian Creole language. So some Creole, if you don't
know. Invariably.
Yes, but if you don't know what it is, find one of your Haitian friends to ask for a translation.
Yes. The great thing about Creole is that it's, the technical term is, it's highly phonemic, but in colloquial terms, it's highly phonetic.
Okay.
Which means the way you say it is how you spell it out. So, you know, même si nous pas comprendre, tendez bien, écrire, et puis allez chercher sur Google.
On Google, let me tell you, Google has stepped their game up.
Yes.
Bing has stepped their game up because now they have the Haitian Creole.
You know, Facebook has a Haitian Creole.
Oh, I didn't know
you
that.
You can change the language of Facebook to Creole.
No wonder the Haitians. Is that how they're soliciting us now from Haiti?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man.
So let's talk about who you are, because I mean, these people are hearing Creole and they're hearing teaching. So I'm sure, you know, you're putting context clues together.
Yes.
But tell us who you are, you know.
So, I mean, girl, you told me we only got a few minutes. So
I mean, we might be able to extend it. Maybe I'll put your full bio online.
So the abridged version is I was born in Haiti and raised in Brooklyn, and I moved here when I was really little. So I learned English as a second language, but because I learned it so little, it's practically like my native language now.
Okay.
So I also grew up speaking Creole. I learned Spanish really young. So I grew up in a multilingual space.
Okay.
And so by the time I made it to undergrad and graduate school, I decided to focus my studies on linguistics. So I'm actually a linguist by training.
Okay.
Language is what I do. That's my, you know, that's my
your thing.
That's my thing, you know, that's what the diploma, that's what it says. But language is my form of advocacy. This is what I do because the revolution is in us. I have a friend online who says the revolution is in my body. It lives in me. So this is it. This is how I'm trying to honor what our ancestors were doing.
And I think it's really interesting because, you know, you don't really find too many people who actually go in and study linguistics and tie it to culture. You know, a lot of people are like, okay, we'll study linguistics, you know, and they'll move on with it more in an academic sense, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of like tying it to their culture and now figuring out a way to, you know, uplift their culture with, you know, their skills, I find that that's very rare. I don't see much of that.
But, you know, it's not rare among Black women. It doesn't matter what Black women do. It always comes back to their identity, you know. And so as a Black woman, as a Haitian woman, invariably I had to get back to culture in some capacity because it's how I live, like my day-to-day, my community, my engagement with people. Like you just called me your Haitian sister. Girl, we met like 2 months ago.
I know, seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know you from nowhere, but you look like me. We come from the same space. The same land gave birth to us. So, of course, we're family. And the way I think about that, that's a very Haitian way. So, of course, whatever work I ended up doing, it had to come back to Haiti in some capacity.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing.
Hey. I'll take it.
Tell us about the Haitian Creole Language Institute.
Yes.
First of all, you're the founder.
Yes.
How did this idea come to pass?
Yikes. Gosh, I tell a different story every time, but the main story is that when the earthquake happened in 2010, I was looking for a way to give back that was more sustainable and that made more sense for me. And at the time, I had already gotten my degrees, degrees.
Gotta talk about the degrees, you know. Plural.
So I said, you know what, let me start with where I am. And where I was a linguist who was really interested in language. And I remember thinking, let me just teach some people Creole, because j'entendais que moun kap retourné Haïti, people are going back to Haiti, they're trying to learn French, and you and I both know Haitian people are not native French speakers, and there are some folks who went there not knowing ni français ni Creole, so I'm like, let me help some folks out. And I started these really small workshops at an adult education center called the Brooklyn Brainery. Shout out to the Brooklyn Brainery for giving me like my first space for offering this workshop. And some students came up to me afterwards and they were like, I want to keep going. And I said, okay, bet, let's do this. And it kind of snowballed into something bigger. And you know the way the universe works, when something is needed, it kind of sets things up for you so that you can get things going. Mm-hmm. I ended up having a student who was a lawyer at the Legal Aid Society in the community development project. So he hooked me up with some pro bono corporate lawyers.
Oh, wow.
I had a student who had a space in Clinton Hill, and she was like, you can use my space for free. And I was like, oh, okay. I had all of these things that kind of lined up for me, and I said, let me take this and see where I could go with it.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's going pretty far.
I don't know. I'm trying.
I've been following you on Instagrams, and I'm seeing Instagrams. The other day, somebody sent me this like post from this Haitian. Yes. It was like the Twitter, the Instagrams, the WhatsApp.
Facebook.
And I was like, what?
Facebook.
Oh my gosh, I love my people. I tell you
I
that.
I love my people.
I love them. But I was looking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's this program. I mean, we'll talk about all of them.
Yes.
There's the Haitian Tea Party that I'm seeing.
Yes, my baby.
And then the Jardin Timoun.
Yes, Jardin Timoun,
like,
my other
this
baby.
This is amazing. Yeah. So tell us about those projects.
Yeah.
I don't like going all over the place, but tell us about those projects.
Please. As I started HCLI, I realized that I couldn't get away from my Sagittarius self.
I'm a Sagittarian. Did we share this?
No, we did not.
When's your birthday? I'm the 4th.
December 19th.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Hey.
Okay, well, there we go.
Well, from one fire sign to the next.
Yes.
From what you just told me, you were in Jersey, then Manhattan, then Brooklyn. That was basically my life. Like, I was in the Bronx, then Upper Manhattan, then back to Brooklyn, then back. I move around a lot.
Yeah.
And so the way my mind works, I never feel like I can't do something. And when I see that something needs to be done, I'm like, okay, let me try.
Yeah.
So, as a way to honor my grandmother, who passed in 2009, I started doing the Haitian Tea Party as part of a cultural workshop for my language classes. So mm-hmm. there's a language component and a cultural component. And then the Haitian Tea Party kind of grew into something bigger. I started a collaboration with Airbnb.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Airbnb has experiences now. So you can book homes and then also book experiences.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of really great experiences in New York. And every city you go to, there's practically like dozens you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
In New York City, you can choose the Haitian Tea Party. So you can book me on Airbnb.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I had been doing the Haitian Tea Party for years before that. And then last year, I had an amazing, amazing opportunity to co-found Jardin Timoun, which is a preschool program, a language immersion preschool program for children ages... Well, we started ages 2 to 5, but now it's ages 0 to 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have the sing-along for the babies, so ages 0 to 2, mm-hmm. Nous chanter avec yo,
nice.
We like put bubbles in the air, we do little, you know, nous fait tout petit voyage avec yo. And then the 2 to 5 group, we do a lot of hands-on activities, and then 6 to 12 is actually our newest program. It's called Jardin Timoun Jouet Lakai,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to be playing traditional Haitian games with the young ones.
Like Vivier?
That's all of that, all of that, hashtag all of that. And we just want people to learn Creole in lots of different ways. We don't just want to sit people moins relé winé, moins pral manger mango, you know, like we don't want it to be so like stiff, and
yeah.
We want people to feel like even if you can't go to Haiti right now, you can get a little piece of Haiti here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really beautiful because, you know, for me, I was privileged enough to grow up speaking Creole because
yes.
My grandmother raised me.
It's
and she wasn't learning English.
It's always a my grandmother, she spent years living in New York. Les pas jamais parler anglais.
And they had no interest
no,
in it either.
But the best part was she would come home. She would go out and about and do everything. I remember one day my grandma came home with a brand new phone. Kunia Lapik speaking, how many minutes she has. This is when you had
oh,
minutes.
Oh, yeah, with the...
This is when you couldn't, like, have between 7 and
yeah,
9.
Yeah.
So she Lapik speaking tout baga. And I was like, gun, could... I was like, oh, Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny enough, in this neighborhood, my great-great uncle used to live a couple blocks away. Mm. So I've been in this neighborhood like forever.
Yes.
And so all these little bodegas and corner stores, and then like I know they shut down the French cleaners.
Yes,
they shut down that. But since, you know, these have always been like, you know, the errand spot right in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
So he would never, like, he would always take me to go do the errands with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, he's like, besoin, bum café. Bum canation. And then, I think the owner of the bodega, I think it's still him, I think he's still there.
Mm.
He would go in and he would barter with them. So the guy would say, 125 for the can of milk. He's like, no. Because the people in the neighborhood were so used to him, he never had to learn English.
Of
he
course.
Would just walk in the Chinese restaurant right there. He would walk in.
Of course. Chicken
wing. That's the only thing he tried to say in English, though. Fo chicken wing. Plantain. Fo chicken wing. Plantain. That's it. That's the only thing he tried. He didn't even try to say Creole. But
Haitian people, you know, I struggle to be okay with the word resilient,
mm-hmm.
but Haitian people are also some of the most versatile people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us any language, you plop us down in any country in the world, we're gonna be
just fine.
I was talking to someone in Spanish earlier today, and they were like, "Oh my God, tu hablas español? I couldn't believe you speak Spanish." And I was like, "But why shouldn't I speak? Like, I'm Haitian." He was like, "Oh, you're Haitian. That must mean you speak three languages." I was like, "Yeah, I speak English, Spanish, and the language of my people."
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me like, "Oh, super impressed." I was like, "You don't need to be impressed. This is what it means
to
be
Haitian.
That's just what it is.
And it's, I mean, that's the beautiful part of it. So it's like, you know, for me, I've always felt privileged to be able to speak not just like Creole, but Creole.
Bon Creole.
But there's a lot, but I think it's sad because a lot of my friends, though,
who grew up
did not have that same privilege because they didn't have gun in the house.
Yes.
And a lot of times the parents, when they come here, they're like, well, we don't want our kids to struggle, have accents. So they do not speak Creole to their kids at all.
Yeah.
And then I had another group class of friends who their parents were elites in Haiti. And so the kids do not know any Creole because they were taught that speaking Creole to adults was rude.
Yeah.
Yep. And all they speak is French.
That's a process to unlearn all of those things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the work that we do at the Institute is we provide a space for people to work through that. You know, we provide people with an opportunity to gain more confidence. We provide people with an opportunity to gain more knowledge and to unlearn. I mean, as Black people, as all people in the Afro-diaspora, we have a lot of stuff we need to unlearn, unpack about ourselves, about our language, about how we speak, about how we move. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I had to do, I would say, from like my teens through, I mean, you know, don't let the brown skin fool
Listen,
you. To my 30s, you
black
know.
Don't crack,
it doesn't. It does not. That involved coming back to who I was, you know, who I always felt I was, but I had like this outer casing of stuff that I had to present to the world, you know? And a lot of people have, I mean, they still got a lot of work to do, even from other Haitian people. I mean, some of the biggest issues we have as Haitian people is from other Haitian people who are like, oh, no, papa li Creole. Mm-hmm. Ou ka ekri Creole nèpòt ki jan. Ou ka di nèpòt bagay ou vle. And I'm like, I remember one time I was with a group of students at Combeat on Flatbush. Et puis nous tap manje, bien manje. No problem, okay? And this guy comes up to me like, oh, what are y'all doing? Ou li wè belle femme, comprends?
Of course, I mean, when you see the women.
So I said, you know, I teach people Creole. And he was like, how can you teach people Creole? It's out of language. And then we had this whole argument in Creole. Moi, ça m'a dit en créole, n'a discuté ou pas qu'à apprendre mon créole. But the funniest part is like, I said to him, I just met you. We didn't just sit in a corner and devise a brand new language so that we could communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying stuff you understand. You're saying stuff I understand. That must mean we're following the same rules.
Yep.
That must mean there's some stuff you know about the language that I also know that I'm able to communicate with you and vice versa. And he was like, and I was like, okay, let me eat.
Rules and regulations.
There's
rules and regulations to the language.
That's
it's not like Pig Latin, right? So
me.
When did, so I can't remember the date because I remember when I used to do like research on all this stuff.
Yes.
When did Haitian Creole become an official language?
So it became an official language in the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. But the orthography of Creole was standardized in the late 1970s.
Okay.
Either way, that was very recent.
Very, yeah, very recent. But I mean, you still have people who are walking around saying that Creole is not.
There's dictionaries.
A language. There's Bibles in Creole. Like there's actual books in Creole. In fact, my mom, when I was growing up, she wrote a book on nutrition in Creole.
Yes. Yes. So mom.
I'm like, so this has always been a thing. So it's very baffling to me when people say Creole is not a standard language.
It's a lot of the stuff that we learned that's anti-Black ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it boils down to. A lot of the issues that the language has to deal with is because the majority of people who speak Creole Haitien, are Black people. Mm-hmm. And when Black people are able to speak a language that's their own, that they can use to express abstract ideas, that's problematic for the powers to be.
Yeah.
This is a huge problem. And so you have to start teaching people that the language that they speak is not a real language. You have to convince those people, mm-hmm. which means now we have to reconvince ourselves that what we're speaking is the real deal.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I like to see these types of movements because I feel like, you know, with a lot of the outsiders who really don't really, you know, they don't know much about Haiti. Mm-hmm. It's always, oh, you speak French, right? Like, because you're Haitian.
Yeah.
And so there's still this idea that Creole is not an official language of Haiti and that it's only spoken by the poor.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you would think that as time has gone on, that idea would slowly, you know, fade away as more and more people are.
Yeah.
But I still think that there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work to do. There's still so many stereotypes around the language, but things are changing. I think that the biggest equalizer in our generation has been the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that you have like blogs in Creole, people have their podcasts on Creole, Gemun Kap Ekri, Ti Journal, tout ça, Voy Magazine, Creolicious, Belle Negues. I mean, tout moun sa yo se en Creole ap ekri, comprenez? So when you give people a tool to express themselves, they're going to express themselves in their true language, in their mother tongue. And in Haiti, with Haitian people, that means Haitian Creole, and there's no denying that, and there's also no stopping it. So there are some people who are like, oh no, Creole pap li pap continue, you know, it's dying. I don't know, that doesn't make no sense. And there's some people who like to argue that just because only Haitian people speak Haitian Creole, it's not viable on the global stage. There's 12 million people who speak Haitian Creole. Mm-hmm. Haiti is not a tiny little island in the middle of nowhere. It's right there, just south of Florida. Everybody knows how to get there. And there are millions and millions of people who speak that language.
And there are many pockets of little Haitis all over the place.
Yep.
You know, it's not just Miami now. And you walk down Church Avenue, you're hearing Creole. You know, shout out to Little Haiti BK for making that happen.
Yep.
So I really, and then they have the Haitian Institute at Brooklyn College. So I think there's definitely a big push to really acknowledge Haitians for the things that they've done in the past and that they're still doing, the things that they will do in the future.
Yep.
But one thing you said about the internet, social media definitely has become a platform. Because for me, I try to follow as much as these of these Haitian you know, social media influencers.
Yes.
And let me tell you, like,
they are hilarious.
They are hilarious. Like, I love to laugh, and that's one of my remedies, you know, when I'm having a bad day.
Yes.
And so Instagram in particular.
Oh, man, it's full of gems.
Full
of gems. Full
of
gems.
I can't tell. And the thing is, it's when they bring you back to your childhood.
You know, you'd be triggered and humored at the same time.
I'm like, I don't know if I need to go to therapy at this moment or if I should laugh. But it's just so beautiful because what it does for me is it lets me see that I was not the only one struggling.
Yep.
I was not the only person in the struggle with my parents and the community and the church.
Sometimes I share the social media skits with my mom, and she's like, oh, no, bat con ça. I was like, really, mommy, this is you. This is actually you verbatim.
For me, I mean, there were a couple of memes where I was just like, no, 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 no. It's I am convinced now. All of the Haitian mothers went to the same school of drama.
The same
academy of drama.
Men academia. But you know, the best part of social media is it's helped us process a lot of things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that our generation, and I was just talking to my sister friend about this, our generation is focused on something much different from our parents' generation. Because our parents came here, whether or not they had what they had, they were focused on surviving, mm-hmm. and creating a space where they could even just exist, you know? And here we are in our generation, and I'm talking about primarily Haitians in the diaspora, because that's the particular experience I've had. Mm-hmm. We're focused on thriving and reclaiming in a way that our parents did not have a chance to. Like, my mom sometimes will wistfully say, like, oh, Mage muna na iti encore. But I'm like, mommy, you have a lot of people. Mpaka voyage. I'm like, mommy, ukali nepot kile ouvle. She's like, no, I can't. She feels a lot of stress because mm-hmm. her experience with IET was a stressful one.
Yeah.
The leaving of it, the leaving of family, friends, and sense of self, having to recreate sense of self in a space that's never accepted her.
Yeah.
But here we are. This is our home. In many ways that it was not home for our parents. So I feel a lot of reconnecting with this particular generation.
Yeah.
And our voices are loud.
Oh, yeah, we don't play.
We definitely don't.
Haitians do not play.
The pride is on some next level.
And I like the fact that we really support each other, yes. even if it's through just social media. Yep. I mean, I don't know how many times, like, I've had some of these social media platforms, like, either repost something that I've yep. done, or, you know, I've been able to tag them, and they're not like, oh, I don't know who you are. Like, yep. you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's been a lot of, even when I comment yep. on some of the, like, the
you
memes, people are just like, that's right, sister,
you
me
feel
too.
It.
And I'm just
it.
Like, this is a great community. Like,
community
it's just like, you know, I've never shied away from being Haitian. And I feel like now in this generation, the fact that I'm able to connect with people who I don't even know,
yep.
but we're sharing the same flashbacks and triggers yep. from these memes together.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's wonderful.
Yes.
And I think that the movement of Haitian Creole, you know, of people wanting to learn Haitian mm-hmm. Creole, perfect the Creole that they yep. thought they had.
Yep.
I think that's even better, I guess, for the sustainability
yes.
of this language in our
absolutely.
Culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Our voices are really loud.
So I know that I went on your website, you know, like to see what else is going on over there.
I put together myself.
Oh, you're the one who put this together?
No, I have to give a shout out. So I have to give a shout. You know Manolia? Manolia.
I know her by face.
She was the former editor-in-chief of the Haitian Times.
Okay, so I know her by face, yeah.
So several years ago when I started HTLI, I went around shopping for someone to create my website. Yo mandem $3,000, $4,000. I said,
US,
$3,000, comprend? I said, okay, I don't have that money. Let me ask a sister friend to help me out. So Manolia sat me down and I paid her, what I paid her, mm-hmm. what I could afford. And she gave me lessons. She taught me tools of the trade.
Mm.
And with that information, I took it and ran with it.
I mean, it's a beautiful website.
That's what we do. This is the third iteration.
This is a beautiful website.
Thank
and
you.
The logo, I'm loving the logo.
Yes.
It's very regal.
Thank you. As a nod to the logo, a young black graphic designer did that for me 5 years ago.
Well, this is a beautiful logo, girl.
Thank
I'm
you.
Telling you this right now.
Thank you.
Now,
thank
I guess
you.
Before we go on and we forget to do this very critical and important part, please
ooh.
Tell the people, what is your website? How can they find you?
Yes.
What's your social media? All that.
So, you know, since we're killing our Google game, you can just Google Haitian Creole New York and find our information, or you can find us directly at HaitianCreoleInstitute.com.
Okay.
And we're all about consistency. So you can actually find us at Creole NYC, KREYOLNYC on all social media platforms. So wherever
like,
you are,
like
we're there. Instagrams, Facebook.
Instagrams.
We also have a Tumblr where I answer questions from my mom.
Oh, is that what Tumblr is about? Let me tell you.
You know, Tumblr doesn't play, Rita. You know, every platform has a different vibe. Mm-hmm. The Tumblr vibe is like, you got to be smart and have all your sources. Because if you put stuff on Tumblr that's not correct, people will come immediately for you.
Wow. It's worse than Twitter.
Yeah. No, Twitter is like, yeah, it's worse than Twitter, I would say.
Okay. Well, I need to be 100% before I get on the Tumblr platform is what you're telling
me.
That's that education right there. You see what I'm saying? That education right there.
I love it.
So talk to us about how the classes are structured. So let's, you know, like we talked a little bit about who's actually taking these classes.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's for everybody.
It's
we
for
even
everybody.
Have little children
yes.
are about to get their Creole on.
Yes.
But if somebody is interested in taking a course, like, you know what, I already speak Creole, but I want to perfect it, or I have no idea what Creole is I want to learn. How, like, talk us through the process.
Yeah, so it's actually... I'm a little bit tulu tutu. I don't know if you know that.
I'm a little bit chili chichi.
I teach Creole in a very structured way.
Okay.
Not to say rigid, but very structured. Like, you learn proper Creole. There's a workbook. There's a 60-page workbook that we put together ourselves. We have original stories that we share with our students. We have our own actual curriculum that follows really, really clear guidelines on language learning. And we touch on all four aspects of language learning: reading, writing, speaking, and listening comprehension.
Okay,
so
good.
We have exercises, there's homework, there's in-class time, there's videos, there's multimedia that they have access to. I mean, it's the whole nine yards. Mm. So it's an actual course.
And how long does this course span for?
You know, it depends on the mood. I'm not
You know, it's whatever
depends,
the wind.
Depending on the wind.
If it's the stars or in the east.
It's anywhere from 12 to 15 weeks.
Oh, that's intensive.
Yeah.
It's intensive. Okay.
12 to 15 weeks. And we run it 3 times a year. So there's usually a summer session, a fall session, and a winter-spring session.
Okay. And are these in class? Like, do we have to be in person? Is there online options?
They're primarily in person. So we have a space in Dead Sty.
Okay.
And then we also, because I teach at NYU, we also have access to the NYU space. Mm-hmm. But there's also online classes, which we started 2 summers ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, when you have a partner who presses you, shout out to Moonstar Bay.
Listen.
You know, I had an opportunity a couple of summers ago to learn how to create space for myself online in terms of an online course. And there was, you know, there's a learning curve for everything, but mm-hmm. we've since perfected it and we've created something that works for us. And so now there's an online course that people can have access to. And since 2017, I would say we've taught people from all over the country and many places all over the world.
So with the online, because I know there are people that would be, because of their schedules or because of their location,
yep.
they don't live in New York,
yep.
who would be very interested in mm-hmm. the online course. So is that taught 3 times a year as well too? Or is there a particular... It's, season where that's given?
No, it's taught every semester too. So okay. every time there's an in-person class available, there's also an online version for that available.
Mm.
And there's face-to-face time. So some people think that the online class is like pre-recorded videos, mm-hmm. but it's actually like you see my face or the face of one of our other instructors. And then, you know, you can talk to us and interact just like you would in a regular class.
Interesting. The whole virtual reality
that's
thing.
That's it.
Okay.
The internet is an amazing place. I mean, People are doing amazing. There's stuff I learned that I'm like, wow, I wish I'd known this like 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. ago. But yeah, it's great.
Okay, cool. So now when people go on the website, they'll be able to get like a price list,
yep.
you know, and see how much things are going to cost.
Yep. You can go directly on the homepage and you'll find all the information, a course description, a schedule, the pricing. And this is not super public knowledge.
Are we going to get an exclusive? An According to RP exclusive?
This is not super public knowledge. But we never want money to be a reason why people aren't learning. So I 100,000% believe that what I put out is what I get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't come into this like, oh, let me go make my coins. Although, you know.
Coins are important.
Coins are important.
Important.
And, you know, we're owed a lot of money
yes.
as Black people. That's a different conversation.
We're still waiting.
So I do make sure I get my coins from the right people. But if people approach me on some like, I don't know if I can pay for this. Can you help me out? I'd like to take the course. We're always, always willing to work with people.
Okay, good. So well, that's good to know. know, like a little sliding scale, maybe a little financial aid.
Yes. So okay. We do have stuff available for folks who are not fully able to handle that financial burden at the moment, but absolutely want and need to learn Creole.
Okay, that's great. It's really amazing.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I've heard so much about it. I was at an event a couple of years ago when you and Hack got the award from the Haitian Roundtable.
Shout out to the Haitian Roundtable.
And I was just like, I know her.
I know that face.
I know her. She's my friend's tutor.
I'm all over the place. You know, I wouldn't say that, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, oh my God, is it Outliers? He describes like mavens and connectors. I wouldn't say I'm a maven, but I'm definitely a connector. So I know a lot of people who know a lot of people.
I'm kind of like that too.
Yeah, so
I'm kind of like that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm a maven, but I'm definitely able to connect people. So one of my superpowers is if there's something that you need, I almost very likely know someone who's able to provide that need.
We have some stuff going on here, but in the background.
Garçon haïtien, yo toujours désordre, mes amis.
There's always something going on.
Do you know any garçon haïtien who are not désordre?
I actually don't, actually. I do not know a Haitian man who is not out of order. For those of you who didn't get désordre.
That's it.
Out of order. I don't know anyone who's not. Oh, the Haitian community, what can we say? What, and again, I'm always looking for According to RP exclusives.
Hey.
Is there any, like, what else are you working on in the future? Like, what can we sit at the edge of our seats and wait for?
Yes. So as I mentioned before, we do write original stories for our curriculum to share with our students.
Okay.
And right now that's available only to students. But we are going to be publishing some children's stories this year. And I almost, and I'm working on making this 100%, but I almost exclusively support Black and brown businesses.
Okay.
So we are working with a Black woman illustrator and trying to work with a Black-owned publisher. So
okay.
I mean, we're trying to get some stuff out there so that people have access to materials. And for Jardin Timoun, which I co-founded with Darnell Champagne, who is an amazing, amazing early childhood educator.
Okay.
Also Haitian. Shout out to Darnell.
Shout out to the Haitians.
She has been... listen, to the people who are listening, if you have not worked with a Haitian woman in some capacity, you are missing out.
You're missing out.
Real talk. Because the versatility, as we mentioned before, is for real, for real. Darnell has created original songs for our little ones.
Aww.
She has created programming that has just been phenomenal. And in the two sessions that we've had of Jardin Timoun so far, you can see real life results in the children. Like the children are saying and responding to Haitian Creole. It's amazing. But with Jardin Timoun, we're actually working on doing like a little consulting program that will be available online. So our focus is on helping parents create a space of bilingualism or multilingualism for their children and their families. And we're working on creating a program that can help families who don't have access to Jardin Timoun in person, because we're based right here in Little Haiti on Rogers.
Okay.
At the LGM, the Lefferts Gardens Montessori School on Rogers.
Okay.
So we're going to have that available online coming a little bit later this year.
Well, I am really happy to hear that because I am a parent.
Yes.
Those of you who've been listening on my show know that I have a parent.
Hey.
That I'm a parent.
Yay.
And he's 12. And unfortunately, he doesn't really speak Creole, but, you know, it's kind of that same mentality that our parents had, but not quite. So, you know, my son is Haitian and non-Haitian.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, when you're raising a child as a single parent, you want to preserve their mental state.
Yes.
And so you don't want to say things in front of the child that would, you know, either damage them or whatever.
Of course.
So the problem is that Creole is my language.
Yes.
And so if I need to speak, I had to speak in Creole, but because I didn't want him to either, you know, be heard or whatever.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I cannot teach you the Creole, because
I
if I do, now everybody else is going to know my business, so you know.
I understand.
But now that he's getting older, he's now 12, I'm like, okay, you know, there's less of that happening.
There's still time.
And I'm like, I want him to actually learn, yeah, because we go to Haitian church. We go to Hebron Seventh-day Adventist church. Listen, like the straight, you know.
There's still time.
And I feel bad sometimes when the other little kids, it's, you know, the they're speaking a little Creole. Even if it's not 100%, but he only knows like, a, you know, little things. Because ironically enough, when I am upset though, I speak Creole to him. So he knows all of the terms.
Of course.
But I was just remembering when I was a kid with my mom, even though my grandmother, you know, taught us to speak Creole or whatever, but there were always these little books.
Yeah.
Like there was Timalis that taught you like French and stuff, but there were all these little books to like help. And I'm like, I would love to be able to see more of that and have access to it and, you know, sit my kid in front of an online tutor to learn, you know, at his age.
Listen, send him my way. Listen. Put him in my online class.
I'm in the online class for...
It's for adults, but the way that the curricula is set up, anyone who's able to do, like, a little bit of reading could learn something.
Okay.
And anyone who's able to listen or watch something on their own and can process information themselves without it being like super explained.
I see.
Could take that course. But what a lot of people don't realize, and this is something that we don't actually have to think about as native speakers of any language, is the amount of work it takes to get to know a language.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one thing to say, oh, m'pral parler créole avec li, m'pral parler créole avec li, m'pral parler livre pour li. That effort is good, but it's not enough unless you make consistent conscious effort and you know what it means to create bilingual space. So for example, like there are different methods for raising a bilingual child, you know. You mentioned that you were a single parent, but if you had a partner, you could have done the one parent, one language method.
You know,
one parent speaks one and another parent speaks the other. You could talk to yourself about like what percentage of bilingual would you like your child to be? Do you want your child to focus mostly on listening comprehension? In which case, just have him sit around some people who speak Creole. Mm-hmm. Send him to Haiti. Have him in some church activities. Send him to mom and dad. You know, whoever's in his life that speaks Creole. There's a lot of different methods, and that's some of the stuff that we discuss at Jardin Timoun with our Jardin Timoun parents.
So it's not just teaching the kids Creole, but it's really engaging with the parents on how to foster, because I think you touched on something really important here, is that, you know, it's one thing to, you know, try to learn a language, but to really, you know, to immerse yourself in it,
it's
into
a
real
process.
It's not easy
we
at all.
We forget that. We forget that as native speakers, because you and I both learned English really young, but we were immersed in English. Like literally we were in a pool, tout partout n'allait, c'est anglais nous tendait. So there was no way that our minds wouldn't pick up and absorb that language.
Yeah.
And people forget that. They kind of casually go into creating bilingualism for their children, and then they get frustrated or confused, or they get discouraged and like, oh, we're not even going to continue. My little niece, she's going to be 5.
Aww.
She's Haitian and Peruvian, because my sister-in-law is Peruvian-American. And she knows some Creole, because as much as I can, I try to speak to her in Creole, même s'il pas comprend.
Yeah.
Comprend? By example, I'll say to her, like, I call her Nana. I'll say, I'll mettre ça dans fatra pour moi. And she's like, go put this in the garbage, because it looks like it's clearly garbage. Clearly it looks like something to be thrown away. And she'll go put it in the garbage. My favorite thing now is, Nana, I'll faire mes potes là. Oh, you want me to close the door? That's her favorite. Her favorite thing now is like using context clues, which is what native speakers do, to guess what I'm saying. And then her mind is going to start to trapil, comprend? But a lot of people, they lose hope too early.
I think that's what it is. And it's true, because when I remember when I was younger and I was learning Arabic, like that's kind of the same concept.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where if you don't use it, you lose it.
That's
because my mom, this story comes up all the time on
this
show.
I love it.
But she didn't know what to do with us. So she was like, oh, she had some friend who was teaching like Arabic school.
Yes,
so she sent us to Arabic school.
Yes.
But when I came home, like nobody spoke Arabic. So it's like I was a star in class. But as I got older, because I wasn't, you know, immersed in it, and Arabic is not a romance language. So it's one of those things where you can't be like, oh, that sounds like.
Yep.
So I totally get, you know, that. And I think a lot of... a lot of my cousins, a lot of kids that I see, you know, growing up in the Haitian household, they will understand, but they can't speak.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, oh, I understand everything, but they can't actually speak.
Yeah. We call that auditory comprehension. We work on that too at the Institute. We have one particular class that we created, I would say about a year into providing courses in Creole.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of mixed students in our elementary level one class, and some of them were heritage speakers, and they already understood a lot of Creole, but they didn't really know how to speak it and had never formally studied it.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to create a separate elementary one class that's called Creole for Heritage Learners, and that class is taught from day one in Creole, parce que yo tout déjà comprend Creole là, mais nous concentrer sur lire, écrire, et parler Creole, comprend? So it's hard. It's hard to get past what you've gotten used to doing.
Yeah.
You know,
it
that
definitely
applies
takes
everywhere.
Some deconstruction.
It does. And that applies to everything. Like, you just get into a habit of, okay, Alshita, yes, mom. Pas fait ça. Okay. Vin manger, I'm coming. Comprend? It's just like, that's just the habit.
Yeah.
And if no one has pressed you to kind of break that habit, then you kind of just are there.
Yeah. See, there's so much to this language thing. It's not as easy
levels,
as people think it is.
Levels.
But I think it's a great benefit to the community to have people like you who are really trying to educate people on the importance of learning Creole. You know what I mean? Like, I was going through the website and I was like, that's right. Like, when I saw the question, why should you learn Creole? You know, that's a real question. Why should you learn Creole?
Why
but
not?
There's so many reasons. Like, why should I learn Spanish? It's a level of communication,
it's
I
a
think.
Level.
I definitely think understand, like, you know, the culture and how Creole came about,
yep.
and all of that history that I see that you also touch on is
yes.
important, because one can say, well, you don't need to speak Creole because, you know, most people don't speak Creole. You have to learn Spanish, because I've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you learn Spanish instead, or why don't you learn French instead? Like, Creole, how many people will you be able to reach? And it's not about that.
Yeah, learning Creole doesn't mean you're not able to learn other languages.
Yeah.
And I think that's something people really struggle with, and that's okay. I'm here to I like to tell my students that I'm arming them with the tools to respond to people like that.
Yes.
Because we all run into people like that
all the time. The ignorance is real.
Sometimes I just want to be like, I'm not here to educate you. My sister Google is available 24 hours.
It's available to everyone.
It's
no discrimination.
$3.99 But it's hard, because sometimes you feel like it's your duty to stand up for our ancestors.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Rita, sometimes I really feel the fire, you know? Like, there's some days I wake up, I'm like, okay, aujourd'hui, I'm going to couper tête, I'm going to bouler
tête. Exactly.
Like, you feel it.
It's in our blood.
It's in our blood. And that energy is something that we can't deny. And I think that energy is in our language, too. And if we're able to express ourselves in the language that our ancestors express themselves, the same ancestors that were like, I'm gonna just get rid of these chains. You know, that slavery thing. We're
tired
good.
Of it.
That
tired.
Was cool for a few hundred. We're good.
Last week's news,
right? Like, our ancestors actually did it. You know, so I'm like, how can I not speak Creole? Même si pas utiliser le pour toute bagay, comprendre. Même si la malle Haïti ou tout est son monde qui t'est grandi en Haïti, it doesn't matter. Like, it's still there in me, you know? There's some stuff I don't even know how to say in English.
Yep. And it's the same thing that happens to me, and I was born here, and people are just like, sometimes they think that you're playing games. I'm like, no, I think in Creole sometimes, because I low-key think that it might have been my first language.
And then I learned Spanish young too, so I have the Creole, Spanish, and English mix in my head. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know this word. And yeah, people do think that I'm playing. But if you talk to me long enough, there's huge gaps in my English vocabulary. People are like, oh my God, but you just said the word invariable and phonemic. And I'm like, yeah, but those, you know, I don't know.
They just stuck a little better.
It's a real real thing.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much doing this. I knew you'd say yes, but still, people are busy. It's a Friday night. You know, nobody has time.
No, but you hit me with that Sagittarius charm.
Let me tell you.
This is how Rita reached out. She's like, hey, girl, how are you? How's it going? You good? I hope you good. And I was like, hey, hi. This is all on DM on Instagram. I was like, oh, hey, girl, I'm good. You know, how are you doing? And she's like, by the way, do you want to come to the radio show? And I was like, yes.
I mean, this is what, you know, this is one of the main reasons I wanted to do this particular show, this According to RP thing, is really that I know, same thing like you, you're a connector. I know so many people. The other day, one of my friends, this is a Jamaican girl, she was just like, do you know every Haitian? And I'm just like, if I'm not related to them, because I'm also related to half of Brooklyn, I also know all the Haitians because I had Dwight Duval Thursday, the personal trainer who's Haitian. There's a whole bunch of Haitians that come on my show.
That's hilarious.
It's like, I mean, we're out here doing great things.
Yes.
Why not highlight the people who are, you know, what some would call we're not regular schmegulars, but we're not like, you know, mainstream, but we're out here doing real things. And it's people my age. Like, why not big up my friends who are, you know?
Yep. The work I do at NYU, I mean, it is what it is. And it has been truly an amazing experience that I'm immensely grateful for. But I went in already knowing that it was a platform that I would use to amplify the work of other people. Mm-hmm. So in the 4 years I've been at NYU, every event I've had has been primarily a Haitian woman and 100% always a Haitian person. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I can't not be amplifying other people.
Especially because when we have so many of us, like I don't even know if I know non-Haitians anymore.
I only know tens, Rita. I only know tens. And people think that I like jokingly say this, but I have been so blessed and privileged to be surrounded by people who are really about it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they're about it.
They're about it, yeah. No matter what it
is. Whatever it is, whatever they've decided to give their energy to, all Haitian people that I know have just put their all into it. 100% into it.
I will say, though, because I know I made a comment that some of my non-Haitian friends are probably thinking, oh no, she didn't. I do love you guys, too. I do. For those of you who are listening, I do love you guys. But you know how I am. I'm pro-Haitian. I'm pro-Haiti. I'm pro-everybody who's... And because we're always, like, people are always trying to, like, take away our happiness. Like, you guys are still, okay, you're the first Black nation, but where are you now? People are always still trying to bring us down. Like, I feel like I always have to just be pro. You know what I mean? That's who I am. Both my parents are Haitian. You know, this is how it is.
Listen, I love all people who are of the Afro diaspora. And I also secondarily love all people in general.
Yes. Because my Bible said so.
Because someone said so. But I'm here for Black and brown people.
Yeah.
But I'm primarily here for Haitian people. Because I know that's who has nurtured me from day one, starting with my mother. Mm-hmm. And the Haitian women in my lives, I mean, like my sisters, you know, they give me life. They hold me up. They breathe into me when I feel like I have no air left. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who else would do that for me. So I have to be here for them.
And it's like, and the thing is that regardless of what, you know, what infighting may be happening at times, when that time comes down it comes down to it,
you already know.
It doesn't matter what we were beefing about last week. Haitians will band together. And it's something that happens time and time again.
That's it. Not to mention my Sagittarius mind forgets the beef anyway almost.
Yeah, seriously. Like I can be so people, and I know that we're divergent, but I can be so amped. Like I will never.
Oh my
I
God.
I can't believe this. Maybe
the next day I'm like, why was I mad?
It's like, you know, because then you think about it, because you're rational, because Sagittarius is very rational. Rational self is like, but for what?
Exactly.
Am I wasting this energy? Oh. If this person wants to be trash, they can be trash. Why am I going to be mad? I'm not going to speak to you anymore, but I'm no longer holding a grudge against you.
God.
I'm just not going to speak to you, though. Because I don't, you know? Not because I care. It's because it's the principle.
Oh, girl, I love it. I love it.
But then I definitely have to bring you back to talk about our Sagittarian power.
Ooh.
And that's the other thing. If I'm not pro-Haitian, I'm pro-Sagittarian. So, and pro-women, hey. Whatever. But you know. But yes, but definitely thank you so much for stopping by
to the show.
This was a great, I feel like we bonded.
I mean,
now we can go drink tea together. When is the Haitian tea party?
So we do have one happening tomorrow.
Oh,
we're actually doing a collaboration with a black woman who owns a cafe in Bushwick named Kim. Mm. And the cafe is called Bushwick Grind.
Interesting.
And it comes with brunch, actually. So tomorrow's tea party comes with food and a gift bag and tea.
People are not going to hear, they're not going to know about it until after. But send me the flyer.
Okay. They can also
send me
just,
the flyer, and then I will tonight, and I will post it on my social media.
Perfect. They can also just book on Airbnb whenever. And I also do private teas. I mean, the tea party serves us and not the other way around. It serves the space that it needs to serve. It serves as the starting point for whatever conversation and vibe you're looking to create.
Okay.
So
I'll definitely be reaching out to you. I think I might want to do a collaboration thing with you with that tea party, because I grew up with the tea as well.
Oh, girl.
So, you know, the fae.
When
people ask me, how's your skin look like this?
It's bon fae, oui.
Fae. Yes, and my grandmother was a medicine woman, and so I was raised with the fae orange.
Yes, yes.
Citronelle.
I have citronelle in my bag right there.
Citronelle. Yep. When people are sick, I'm like, est-ce qu'on a eucalyptus?
Yes.
So,
yes.
know. The Church Avenue women, they know when I have a headache, I'm like, est-ce qu'on associe?
That's it. They know all the good stuff.
Yes.
Whatever the land produces for us, it's either you can ingest it or not. There's no in between. With Mother Earth, so might as well get the good stuff.
We have to talk about that too. We have so much stuff. I have a list now. Yes, a reoccurring guest.
Thank you so much, Rita.
No,
this
of course.
A lot of fun.
No, this was a lot of fun. I think very entertaining.
Yay.
And I think for those of people who were listening who were just like, I didn't get half of that. Now you have an incentive to go to the Haitian Creole Language Institute and learn, so you can go back and listen to this show. And then, now I know what she said. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to According to RP on WJMS Radio. And again, thank you so much to my lovely guest, Winnie Lamour.
Thank you.
Founder of the Haitian Creole Language Institute. Guys, definitely check it out. Even if it's not for you, I'm sure you know a friend who's trying to learn. So definitely check her out. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anytime.
Download it now.
Thank you.